listening to an Infowars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
It is Wednesday, the 21st day of March, 2012, and we're going to be live here for the next 3 hours. Yesterday, I had John Rappaport of NoMoreFakeNews.com sit in. He did a superb job, along with Mike Adams, who wrote Shotgun, the third hour. I want to thank them and thank our great crew and you, the listeners, sponsors, and those that pray for us and who make it all possible. But John Rappaport did a great job. I wasn't taking off yesterday. I did an eight-hour shoot with Discovery Channel. I then did 2 hours of Coast to Coast AM. I did Russia Today and one more interview in the morning. And during all of this, people were asking me at the office, what do you think of the French shooting? And I said, I think it's terrible, obviously, but I hope and pray that it's just a deranged lunatic, because someday I'm dreaming of actually finding a real terrorist who isn't a mentally ill person that the globalists have set up or a pure patsy. But I said, I'm going to hold my tongue on this. But I said, it's probably going to come out just like the guy that shot up the Jewish center out in California a decade or so ago, who it turned out lived at a military base, that the feds were following him, financing him. They find incredibly mentally ill people and then protect them. And I said, if it turns out the government's been watching him for years and that he's been in Guantanamo Bay or he's been at an Afghan base, it's on record that they profile and engage in mind control. This is on record at these bases in Afghanistan and Cuba. And they find people that are either stark raving crazy and give them money and financing to do it, or they find people that are good leaders and put them in charge of the Libya invasion or the Syria invasion. We just saw al-Qaeda a few days ago blow up military and police intelligence stations in Syria. And al-Qaeda openly works for NATO, the same groups that attack Gaddafi. I'm not saying Assad's good. I'm not saying Gaddafi's good. But they're nothing compared to al-Qaeda. And so al-Qaeda does work for the bankers, for the globalists. It's kind of a skeleton key or Leatherman tool that can do any and every job that people want done. You want to scare the American people? Al-Qaeda. You want to get some anti-terrorism legislation passed? Get some no-bid contracts? Al-Qaeda. You want to invade a country? Al-Qaeda. You want to do any of this? Al-Qaeda. And now an image is emerging. In fact, Kurt Nimmo's writing on this right now, but if you put the Drudge Report up, if PrisonPlanet.tv people are watching, just look at these headlines. Flash, U.S. sent French shooting suspect back to France from Afghanistan developing. That's just a red link. Well, I was driving in late this morning and got here at about 10:30, and BBC was reporting what Drudge is saying is developing. So BBC reporters talking to French authorities are saying that he had been in an Afghan prison. Now, let's scroll down. There is a London Telegraph headline, Toulouse siege live, and they go on in this report. It's a long report, just a minor footnote that he'd been in an Afghan prison and broken out. Now, we covered this in great detail in my film Road to Tyranny that came out 10 years ago now, 10 years ago, February. So more than 10 years ago. And in that, we show the Times of London, Associated Press, all hidden in plain view, where 8,000 Taliban and al-Qaeda leaders, including heads of al-Qaeda, heads of Taliban, would be arrested by the military, would be apprehended and ordered released. And they would pay them in chest of gold bars, the CIA and MI6, and Pakistani intelligence as well was involved, and put them on C-130s and fly them over and land them in Pakistan. I mean, again, so it's the, but they would say broke out of prison. So this guy broke out of prison to go do this. Yeah, right. We'll break it down.
Genesis.
Devastating globalist lies. exposing the mainstream media's propaganda machine, tirelessly waging war on corruption. From deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6 in Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Now we see the earth. We've got it. Now we see the earth. Now we've got it.
Thank you for joining us for this worldwide transmission against tyranny. I come to you from deep in the heart of Texas, Austin. We have an incredibly important jam-packed transmission lined up for you today. Dr. Russell Blaylock, a brain surgeon, scientist, researcher, is going to be joining us to talk about government-run healthcare, the epidemic of Alzheimer's and other neurological disorders, and more. And then Dr. Jerome Corsi is going to be coming on with bombshell new evidence with eyewitnesses that knew Barack Hussein Obama as Barry Sotero in Illinois, who were told that Obama was a foreign exchange student. And we know others from his Occidental days have said that. And they fight under national security to stop the release of that information. Undoubtedly, we don't know who this man is. He's a complete cutout, beyond blackmailed by foreign interest. We don't even know who he is. He is a Manchurian candidate. And that's why you see the Congress being told that the United Nations now commands U.S. military forces publicly. That's why you see the director of the CIA saying, yes, all appliances are having bugging devices engineered into them. We're watching you without warrants. You have no Fourth Amendment. He actually said that. I've read the quotes. It's on record. Hundreds of newspapers. He said at a big tech conference put on by the CIA, privacy isn't what it was in the past. We are going to spy on you without warrants, and we're watching you. They want you to know. Well, we're watching you too, buddy boy. And the big foreign megabanks looting this country and Europe and everybody else. We're watching. So this little attempted exercise in hiding everything in plain view is not going to convert the way you think it is. So Dr. Corsi joining us, Dr. Russell Blaylock. My heart, my prayers go out to the little children gunned down by someone in France. Just as my heart and soul and prayers goes out to everyone who's killed in war who is a innocent. When I see the Pentagon come out and say, yeah, we think it's acceptable to kill 145 or 203, and those are actual numbers from actual cases, of people at a wedding or in an apartment building, or at a family event, to kill one bad guy that we say is bad and a terrorist, we're going to kill 100-plus people. That is the same thing as some deranged individual walking up to children. I don't care whether they're Jewish, whether they're Chinese, whether they're Arabic, whether they're Hispanic. I don't care. If it's, you know, a little Dutch girl with blonde curls, all children are precious. And my basic instinct is to become outraged by it. But I can't turn it off. I can't, oh my gosh, it's some Jewish children and French paratroopers got cowardly gunned down in cold blood. Oh my gosh, you know, the world stands still. And then not get upset over the hypocrisy that when other people get killed, little Branch Davidian children, no matter what their parents might have done, they were innocent and murdered by Delta Force and the FBI on record. General Parton, of course, exposed the forensics of it, the church records vault inside the Davidian compound. They went in, put a shape charge on it, killed everybody inside, blasted them into soup. Those that were not inside the church records vault who were told to come out ran out and were shot on the FLIR footage. You see them run out, infantry behind the Bradleys firing into them, Christmas tree flashes from the FLIR, from the FBI aircraft above. And that's put on the news, and the FBI says, that's not what it looks like. Every other FLIR footage, you see bodies, you see gunshots, you see people hitting the ground, you see the tanks running over them. to get rid of the evidence, pushing them with bulldozer scoops later into the flames to burn the bodies up. And then the military from Fort Hood posed with skulls of dead people. I mean, it's one thing to kill American citizens because you want to show them who's boss and to blow up little newborn babies and people and toddlers. But it's even worse to cowardly pose with their skulls later. And when I saw that, a light bulb went off in my mind and adrenaline went into my heart. And I said, we got a major problem. And it backfired on the feds. They wanted to get more funding, launch their war against the right wing in America. It failed. So the feds, 2 years later, bombed Oklahoma City to wave the red shirt and blow up a daycare center so they could demonize the liberty movement. And it worked very well. It's not going to work the next time you do it. So don't do it. And don't think about it. Keep doing your little sneaky false flags like Fast and Furious shipping 10,000 plus guns into Mexico. And, you know, it's terrible. It killed at least three Border Patrol and three police officers, over 200 people on this side, well over 2,500 last number I saw. Our own government admits guns traced back in Mexico. So we're talking about 2,000 plus people dead just from those guns. And that's what's been traced and confirmed. That's a big false flag. That killed more than Oklahoma City. In fact, it's approaching what died on 9/11. In fact, the way Fast and Furious is going, if they keep tracing these guns, in another year or so, it's going to be 3,000. Oh, but you got caught on that false flag, didn't you, Holder? And you're going to go on getting caught because now we know. We know what to look for, buddy boy. And a lot of us are willing to risk our lives, our names, our treasure to expose you. A lot of us just can't give in to the fear and are committed. You don't know what to do about that, do you? You don't know how to handle that. Because a man in the wrong can't stand up against a man on the right if the man on the right keeps on a-coming. That's what it's all about. When good people stand up, nobody can beat them. And that's what I want to be an example of. Taking action, getting on the field, fighting tyranny. Ron Paul has been cheated. Pure election fraud. Caught him in Maine, caught him in Iowa, and I warned people. I said, after they steal him up front, then the self-fulfilling prophecy will be, well, he can't win, and people will start going over to Mitt Romney and others, and that's happened. And there's all these ideas about the delegates and what's going to happen there, and that might allow them to get some good stuff on the platform, but the Republican leadership will ignore that at the convention. But undoubtedly, don't let them snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. Ron Paul running was a big win, just like it was 4 years ago. 4 years ago, maybe in polls, 30% or so knew what the Federal Reserve was. 10 years ago, maybe 5%. I've seen polls of over 90%, I know you've seen them as well, knowing it's private and wanting to audit it or abolish it. This is a drive. This is not a Hail Mary where we're going to throw, you know, 40-yard passes into the end zone every time and win. It's a drive. That's what political fights are. It's a long-term battle. We're winning the war for the Second Amendment. They're pulling out all the stops. Lord knows what dirty tricks the globalists are going to pull. But right now, we're winning. All over the world, they're starting to reverse victim disarmament because people get it. They know more guns, less crime. They know tyrannical systems want their guns. Now, they may pull out the stops. Obama has promised the Brady campaign, that got leaked last year, that he will get the guns by stealth. The NRA's got memos, and they're usually pretty mild and milquetoast. The Washington Times has reported that he does plan to ban semi-autos. I mean, ban them. I mean, turn them in his next administration. So we're in a lot of trouble. But at least we're in the game. You know, it's like being in a fight, and you know what? He's hitting you pretty hard, but you're hitting him. And you just need to stop worrying about who wins and start swinging. Because the person that pauses, you ever had somebody in a fight punch you, and then they stop to see what it does? By the time they've done that, I've punched them three more times. And that's what we got to do here. We've got to understand in an info war, just start pounding the enemy and stop even worrying about the results. open a can of butt kicking in the info war. Get aggressive. City council, county commissioners, state houses, phone calls, letters, street art in legal and lawful areas. Just get the buzz of liberty going where it can't be ignored. We're winning. All the globalist white papers say they're scared and they want to go to pure authoritarianism because they know they can't control us through soft power anymore. All right. I've now digressed. When I come back, I wish that this French situation never happened. And I wish that if it now has happened, that it would be a real terrorist. Because then that is not as frightening as knowing that it's a staged event. I keep looking for the event that's not staged. It's got every stinking earmark across the board. Of course, he went to Afghanistan. Of course, he was in a prison. Of course, he broke out. That's how they always release him over there. To go do his job. We saw this with the Al-Qaeda attacks in Spain. It even came out in the Spanish newsletter. The government staged it. They went to an apartment building, blew it up, and said the terrorist was in there. They can have special ops shoot a few people. Then they just go and blow up or burn down the apartment building or shoot some patsy. And then that's how they do it. The Russians have been caught doing it as well. This is how the globalists operate when they want a power grab. It's got all the earmarks. They were following him. They knew all about it. That's the handling of him. I've seen it over and over again, just like the underwear bomber. He could just be a mentally ill patsy. They allowed to do it. Or it could be a total cutout. He doesn't even exist. But right now, stay.
A year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock, save you money, and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar in a book explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Are you having trouble paying your mortgage? Maybe your mortgage loan is upside down or in foreclosure. Maybe the bank already foreclosed on you. Don't sit around being a victim of bank fraud. Fight back. We have the tools to help you fight back. Here's how. Go to InspectorAudit.com and click on the GCN radio special. Order a summary audit. Find the real truth about your loan.
Maybe like me, you'll find your bank loan was paid off already. Maybe, like me, you'll find your bank defrauded you at the closing. And maybe, like me, you will go after them.
Did you know 78% of home loans in the last 10 years violated consumer credit laws? We should not let the banks get away with this fraud. Go to InspectorAudit.com and click on the GCN radio special. Order a summary audit today and find the truth about your mortgage loan. That's InspectorAudit.com or call 855-373-4948. That's 1-855-373-4948. 855-373-4948.
Would it save you time to get the best quality water filters and the best quality storable foods from one company? You bet it would, and now you can at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Big Berkey Water Filter products and great-tasting, long-lasting, storable, wise foods are both now available on one website, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Wise foods, ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches and come with a 25-year shelf life. Big Berkey Water Filters are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. Combine Berkey Water Filters with Wise Foods for an unbeatable preparedness combination. Get free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit Big, BERKEY, waterfilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or go to BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com.
Here is what we know right now about the shootings in France. The suspect was tracked for years, the BBC is reporting. French police are continuing to lay siege to an apartment in the southern city of Toulouse, where the man suspected of shooting dead seven people is cornered. The man, 24-year-old Mohamed Mira, a Frenchman of Algerian origin, and of course they had the big rebellion in Algeria, kicking the French colonialist out back in the, 60s, has been tracked by French intelligence for several years, according to Interior Minister. The brother of the suspect has been arrested in another part of Toulouse, with several other relatives also reported detained. And it goes through that. Now, buried in a London Telegraph report, we learned that, and I've also heard this morning on XM, BBC covering this and confirming it, that he was in a Afghan prison and escaped. Folks, they have escapes constantly where thousands of people get out. And these are basically events where they grab people, then find out who they can control, who they can set up as a patsy. It's admitted that they have a base within the base at Camp X-Ray in Cuba. The Marine Corps base there, / Army, and that there's a CIA facility that's the real facility where they do mind control experiments. And I had the information, of course, if you go back like 8 years ago, that they were engaged in mind control there from my sources before it was even on the news. So that's the type of issue that we need to discuss and be aware of. And then now you see all these top Al-Qaeda fighters, three of the five or six main rebel leaders that have taken control of Libya, were all Al-Qaeda held for many years at the secret section of Camp X-Ray. I mean, it's in the LA Times. It's in the Associated Press. Oh, there's an Al-Qaeda problem. Yeah, the rebels the West put in to overthrow Gaddafi, they happen to be Al-Qaeda, most of them. And Saudi Arabia and Qatar and all these people are giving their special forces to the fight as well. And then they held up signs on the BBC months and months ago saying, Syria, you're next. Here we come. And then over the weekend, there are giant bombings killing scores of people, blowing up the police headquarters, the intelligence headquarters, and one of the main military headquarters. Giant car bombs go off, and Al-Qaeda takes credit, and the West is calling them protesters. Oh my gosh, Assad is shooting people. And then they catch Danny the Syrian when he... I mean, I said this a month ago, that you'd see him on CNN going, yes, I am here in Syria. There are thousands of dead today around me. Thousands of dead. And he's such a bad actor. I'd see him the next day on CNN with Anderson admitted CIA Cooper. Do you know? Just look it up. He was admittedly CIA. And he would switch out because he's really from England. And he'd go, I'll tell you, Anderson, it's incredible what's happening here. I mean, excuse me. We are battling them right now. I mean, they don't even have good actors.
We're looking for a good actor, Danny, to join Team America. Can you do it?
So this is the type of garbage that they shovel at us, and it's designed for those that aren't paying attention. Then he gets caught in the CNN feed that probably the Ruskies grabbed, because they got troops there, we told you that months ago, now it's admitted, of him going, all right, what you do is stage the gunfire over there as soon as I do it, and then you hear the director going, now say they're dragging bodies over. And there's no, as soon as the live feed cuts to, yes, yes, CNN, boom, 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 there are bodies, oh, terrible. I mean, this is what they do. And you better believe that this Toulouse situation in France, potato, patata, it stinks royally to high heaven. I mean, he could have just been some Algerian mad at the French, and people do stuff like this. People do go crazy. They do go postal. Look at the guy now. They're saying is killed 19, they're now saying. First it was 16, then 18. Now they're saying 19 people. Little kids, a U.S. Army soldier, didn't want to go back. Now evidence is emerging. They probably had him on psychotropics. They won't say, but he was under treatment. Oh, that's a good idea. Give somebody a hallucinogenic psychotropic that on the insert says can make you go psychotic and have a hallucination and kill people. Give it to a trained killer who's been going into his fifth term. That's really smart. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Monday through Friday, from 12 noon to 3 p.m. Eastern, we are here, live. And then, of course, weeknights, 7 o'clock, we've been on a pit stop in the last week and a half, premiering the Dave Mustaine interview and some other special reports, and then some compilations of older reports, while I gear up to launch to the next level of the InfoWar. We'll be back live with shows Monday evening, but Billy Corrigan, tomorrow night, hour plus in-studio interview I did with him, last Thursday. Billy Corrigan, of course, of the Smashing Pumpkins, but also prolific songwriter, one of the most successful in the last 50 years. He's not really even known for that, but that's the facts. Amazing political mind. He was in studio with us. That's going to premiere tomorrow evening, 7 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock Eastern, prisonplanet.tv. And it's great to have people like Dave Mustaine reach out and want to come to town and be interviewed. And when Billy Corrigan was in town, through ManCal, learned that he wanted to talk, that he was a listener, really flattered. He's been listening for 5-6 years, really intelligent fella. Kind of a whiz kid growing up and a Renaissance man throughout his life. And his girlfriend, who I had a chance to meet, who, of course, is one of the twin singers of the Veronicas, another big mega band in its own right, because it again, just lets you know how many people are awake if prominent people are coming out of the woodwork. And when I say out of the woodwork, people like Billy Corrigan and Dave Mustaine have the courage to come on this show. Some people I've talked to have courage, but they've already lost family members fighting tyranny. I'm not going to say any names, but some of the biggest names in Hollywood, the biggest names in music, the biggest names in the military, some of the biggest names in intelligence, some of the biggest names in journalism, Pulitzer Prize winners, contact me privately and say, you're dead on right. I had dinner with the heirs to this fortune last week, and they admitted the whole world government plan and that you're absolutely right and that the elite think they're about to become Prometheus with the fire of the gods and that they're going to live forever and they plan to exterminate everybody. And, oh, my gosh, the elite are all digging into bunkers. Well, why don't you come on air and tell folks about that? And they just say, no, Alex, we're just glad you're there. Thank you. And the way I've heard it described is that, you know, they know that people are going to come after them big time if well-known people start going public, because the system knows that a chain reaction will then happen, because the system has put so much energy and time into building up the cult of celebrity. And these artists are all amazing actors, amazing artists, musicians. There's a reason they're stars. But the system gets them into their stable and then uses them to project the message they want. And so no longer are our heroes scientists, trailblazers, inventors, explorers, people that stand up for what's right. Those are my heroes, renegades. And those have always really been the heroes in history and in any society that excels. The elite tries to get people into the love of science and literature and philosophy and creativity. That's what the Renaissance is all about. That's what our founding fathers were the greatest flower and expression of. They weren't perfect, but in history, heads above all others. And I was listening as I drove into work today, as I mentioned, BBC, and they were admitting, yeah, this guy was in a prison in Afghanistan, and this guy was tracked by the police for years, and they, you know, knew he had firearms. Oh, really? Where there's massive gun restrictions, and they know some guy that's training at Al-Qaeda bases has guns, and they let him do it. And he escapes from a supermax prison in Afghanistan, a dungeon. Does anyone believe this? It's always the same MO. That's their handling of them. Oh, he got released. He escaped. And I'm listening to that report, and I'm just like, it's Groundhog Day. At first, I'm like, oh, he's Algerian. I know that those folks have really been abused by some of the French colonialists. He might have just been somebody, you know, who went postal, went crazy. Maybe he is a lone wolf actor who picked up on the Al-Qaeda narrative and did this. Please, please let it just be that. Please let there be real Al-Qaeda. Please don't let it be the government again. And then the earmarks, the signature, the wavelength, the MO. I mean, it's the same thing. And around the office, I'm like, if he ends up being followed by the police and going to Afghanistan or going to the Middle East, or if he was ever in Guantanamo or some other camp, look out, he's one of their operatives. And then sure enough, I get up this morning, and that's exactly what happened. And I'm just like, wow. And then they've got him surrounded in an apartment. In fact, keep tracking it, folks. Something may happen with that. And you know, they're having this big show. Who knows if anybody's even in there? Are they going to shoot or kill some other patsy and say it's him later? I knew this day one, but it came out in the Spanish newspapers, and the government actually, there was mass demonstrations, and the government had to step down. Remember what, back in 2003, when they had the Madrid bombings, and it turned out there was a government drill, and there were anti-terror police, and then they claimed they followed the people that were involved to an apartment, and the police blew it up. And then it turned out there weren't even all the bodies they set in there, and it was just, oh, the bad men that did the bombing, they're in there, and boom, the building blew up. It's always the same. And that did come out in the Spanish news, that it was government involvement. Always the same. Always the same. Because who stands to gain from this? Who gets to crack down on liberties? Who gets to shut down the press? Who gets to pose as saviors? Who gets more funding? How many times have fire departments, and I think firefighters on average are the best people in our society, great servants, brave men and women, but how many times do you see it as a footnote in the news that a fire department is about to get its funding cut, so one of the people involved gets caught by a sheriff's deputy driving along, coming out of a barn they just set on fire? Or fire department caught setting grass fires. It's the oldest trick in the book. You know how the Romans? Do you think the Italian La Cosa Nostra just started coming to people's businesses in the last 100 years and saying, pay me protection money or somebody's going to burn down your business, pay me fire protection? That was done for 100 years plus before the birth of Christ. Over 2,000 years ago, on record, the most powerful guild in the city of Rome itself the biggest city in the world at that time, was the fire department. And if there was a real fire, they'd come put it out. Because back then, fires were really devastating. They'd burn through the whole city. But if you didn't pay them the protection money, you better believe your area is going to get burned down. And it was an unofficial tax on the different quarters because it was all, you know, in different minority areas so people wouldn't kill each other, just like today. You had the Jewish quarter, the Persian quarter, the Egyptian quarter, later the German, the Gaul quarter, the Austrian area, all there. And they would come and say, you're going to raise money, chief, head guy of this area, or somebody's going to burn down your neighborhood. Now, you got that, Jack? And, of course, under government regulation, you weren't allowed to organize your own firefighting brigade. No, no, no. That's why government doesn't want you to be armed. They want the government to have the monopoly of force. You got to call them to protect you. You see, the average cop isn't for that. They know better. They know more guns, less crime on the whole. Usually within about 2 years, well, not usually in every case, of a concealed carry being put into place. 20%+ drop in violent crime. I mean, you look at the numbers in Texas, it doesn't even register for home invasions compared to somewhere like New York City, where it's just home invasions are off the charts. You home invade here, about 50% of the time, you're going to get your head blown off real fast. But I'm digressing. I've got all this news I want to get to. I started getting into celebrities and how all these celebrities are awake. And for me, that's a radar ping or a sonar ping that, wow, liberty is really popular. And this is all under the surface. We've got to wear our colors proudly for freedom so that everybody knows we're the majority. We've got the answers. And we know who's to blame for the major problems, the big mega central banks, who say too big to fail, world depression if you don't bail us out, and then loans us our money back in Greece and everywhere else saying, oh, you got to raise your taxes and cut your benefits to give us more money. We'll give you these loans that's your money you gave us a year ago. If you'll do what we say and pay us even more money. I mean, it is so transparent. But because people don't have heroes that are into how the Federal Reserve works, that's why Ron Paul is so dangerous for the system. It makes a hero out of somebody that's into reality. No, they don't want that. They want your heroes to be football and baseball and basketball players. And it's fine for children who are playing baseball, football, you know, swimming, whatever, golf, to have a hero because they're in sports. Sports is wonderful. One of the best things out there for youth to keep them out of trouble. I'm all for sports if you're participating in it or your children are in it. But once the children get out of school, you're supposed to move on in every society from that. And sports is a minor diversion. Now it's all that matters with most men. They may even know about the New World Order, but it doesn't matter. Their tribal energies are spent on gladiatorial diversions and distractions, bread and circus. So driving in, listening to BBC, I heard them in Taiwan, you know, great folks. Taiwan deserves its sovereignty. Talked about how they never get recognized because the Chi-Coms don't want it that way. And how Jeremy Lin, this big point guard, NBA, you know, New York Knicks, Harvard Christian, American-born, is their hero, and they cancel school when he plays. They cancel everything and watch him and worship him because that's their identity now. Because the media worldwide never gives them any credit. You don't need the media to make you feel good as incredibly hardworking, smart engineers, developers, and people that are standing up against the communist Chinese and their oppressive system when that little bit of liberty in Taiwan has actually helped transplant free market to China and is responsible for much of the success in China. But it was how they never felt good till they had somebody the media said was great. Like, you need the globalist media and the so-called American media, which is New World Order media, central, to tell you that a Taiwanese had some value. And they're worshiping this guy. And I'm sure he's a great person, I think it's fine for kids to think, oh, great, I can, you know, do good at sports and go to the next level, because it teaches you to persevere. It teaches you to, you know, reach those goals. But it's sick in that that's the only way they can feel good, when the system tells them, and the only hero can be a basketball player. They don't want it to be a single mother that's able to raise their children and keep them out of trouble, and then those children end up becoming inventors and scientists or trailblazers who are successful. They don't want that image. So people only believe they can thrive in the limited slots of professional sports, which you've probably got, what, one in a couple hundred thousand shot, they say, if you're a football player, of being a professional football player. It's the same in the other sports. So it's the idea that that's the venue. That's, see, they're controlling your dreams through this. They're controlling the maps of the mind. They're the map makers. They create this little box, and the Taiwanese say, we feel so depressed about who we are, but now we have Jeremy Lin and we feel good. You need the media to give you someone who's Taiwanese, who's excelling at something, when you're excelling at everything you do. But the media won't tell you that. They want to make you think Taiwan's a joke, Taiwan's bad, Taiwan's not a country. Well, don't let that get you down. They're getting you ready for absorption into communist China. And they use the same stuff everywhere to control people. In the mainland of China, they use sports and things to control people, because they don't want school children thinking about Thomas Jefferson or George Washington as a hero. And let me tell you, George Washington, if they made a movie that was accurate about George Washington, no one would believe it. I mean, you talk about Conan the Barbarian. Hundreds of battles. Regardless of what you think about Andrew Jackson, even more ridiculous, the battles. And I'm talking about the British and French and Spanish accounts of it. Davy Crockett, people like that. I mean, you talk about the real deal. And all they've got is cheesy 1940s and 50s TV shows about Davy Crockett. Folks, that's not Davy Crockett and Sam Houston and people with arrows sticking out of them, you know, fighting 10-to-1 odds. The real Indian Wars were in the east and the middle of the country. There were battles with Native Americans and settlers where there were 20,000 settlers and 100,000 Indians. And I'm not even glamorizing any of this and saying it was good. Both sides were killing each other. The point is, you're never even given that real history. You're never even given everything is the 1860s and 70s and 80s out west, where it was a mopping up extermination operation. You know why it was a mopping up extermination thing? Because the whites were scared and had almost been beaten repeatedly and had whole areas completely wiped out and killed. All over the East Coast, all over the middle of the country. There were battles in Illinois. There were battles in all over this country where tens of thousands were killed. Giant guerrilla wars. That's where America comes from. That's what our country came out of. Whether you're Native American or whether you're white, black, it doesn't matter what color you are. The history of this country is swashbuckling adventure that you is just so wild when you actually read the histories of it, that it's off the chart. Andrew Jackson in New Orleans behind a wooden blockade with the British firing cannons, and he's up there in a black cloak described by the British at hundreds of yards away with his eyes glowing in the dark and just his energy there, refusing to give up and then later defeating them. I mean, just all of it is just amazing. And Jackson in duels and bleeding for 3 days with most of his blood on the ground, refusing to die, and just all of it. I mean, that's what Americans come from. We are not these cowardly, pathetic creatures that they have made us to believe that we are. We come from amazing, dynamic, brave people, and we need to reclaim our birthright and realize who our ancestors are. We are not these weak, cowardly, television-watching jellyfish. Big news straight ahead.
Republic from enemies foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
All right, I have been ranting and digressing off into history, but it's important because those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. We'll continue to track the standoff with the supposed gunman who's in the apartment. We have no idea if that's even true over in Toulouse, France. I'm not going to spend all day on this, but I'll cover it more later in the broadcast. Obama campaign says white first lady joke was inappropriate. And here's my issue. If Rush Limbaugh would have said something like this, he would be off the air. They have TV shows on national television during the family hour that I can't even say the name of on radio because I know I have children listening and I've got to control myself. But it's good Christian bleepers. It's okay to attack white people. It's okay to put down Christians because the system wants to play different groups off against each other. And that's the acceptable system. And Robert De Niro, who's a great actor but must be an idiot supporting the Democratic Party, Robert De Niro, comes out and makes the joke. And, of course, we have the video of it. I may play it later. And he went through and listed the names of the different wives of Ann Romney, Karen Santorum, Callista, that's her name, Gingrich, and said, I don't think we're ready for a white first lady. They're invoking race. And people say, well, wait, that's just a joke. Okay, well, if it was a comedian that told jokes about everybody, I think in a way that's healthy just to get over it. But the politically correct folks never want people to get over it. They teach anti-gun. They teach all this race stuff in school. The kids aren't even thinking about race. And you're there being told about it. And then there's this sense of entitlement with, quote, minorities, who are pretty much the majority now in this country, if you put the minorities together, that the whites are the ones making them have a bad day and that the government's minorities' friends. Well, let me tell you, minorities, the government is not your friend. Are there some good people in the government? Have some good things been done occasionally? Yes. But overall, the government is directed by globalist eugenics social engineers. So there is my point on that front. It is disgusting. And Obama campaign has apologized because it was an official Obama fundraiser event. And it's despicable that the media isn't calling for, boycotts and things. Because I normally wouldn't say boycott somebody like Robert De Niro. But the entire Democratic Party is trying to get Rush Limbaugh off the air right now. And believe me, if they can bring him down, you better believe people like me are next. There's been all sorts of campaigns in the background against me over the years, but my sponsors and my affiliates, all love freedom. They know they get a great response, ratings, and the advertisers get a great response, and none of that's ever been successful, but it's gone on. I mean, they will take anything and exaggerate it and blow it up and start a campaign. But with Limbaugh, and I know people that carry the show, I'm up against Limbaugh, never did that on purpose. That was the time Genesis 14, 15 years ago chose, that they had stations that wanted to pick it up. I had a nighttime show. That's what I would have rather done. That's when I really wake up. But I'm not here like Huckabee is, trying to get Limbaugh off the air so that he can have his stations. I don't think like that. Oh, good, Rush Limbaugh's in trouble. Because I even know some stations are looking at dumping him and we're getting contacted about picking up the show. And I don't want affiliates like that. Because even though I disagree with a lot of what Rush Limbaugh does, folks, this is a psyop to shut down free speech in this country. Okay? I mean, they can say whatever they want about conservatives, but he makes a joke about some lady who wants thousands of dollars of condoms and they want him off the air.
This is GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
folks. Iran and the Mideast nuclear mess is already ballooning our gas prices. Whether you're struggling with food costs, which are being blown up by gas costs now, or know that when the Mideast showdown explodes, whatever food supply you have is all you'll get because of huge panic demand. eFoods Direct Family Packs are the answer. Now, the most affordable, best food is saving you up to 50% compared to other poor quality food companies. The new Alex Jones Quick Fix Family Pack saves you so much money, the savings from eating this food will actually help you pay your other bills. No matter what effect the Mideast crisis or the crashing economy have, you'll have food as delicious tonight as 25 years from now. Order now for 50% savings and free shipping on these affordable family packs. Call 800-409-5633 or efoodsdirect.com/Alex. Call 800-409-5633 or efoodsdirect.com/Alex.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Into hour number two. Dr. Russell Blaylock is going to join us for a little over an hour. We'll have some time to take a few calls for him. I haven't gotten into this yet. I've mentioned it, but Syrian al-Qaeda takes credit for deadly bombings that our media calls a protest. When you blow up a police station and you blow up government buildings, that's protesting. And the Syrian government, who's been fighting this now for really 8-9 months, is not supposed to shoot back. And again, I'm not a fan of Assad, but compared to a lot of people in the region, the guy's an angel. And boy, when I tell you, once they put al-Qaeda in charge over there, the Christians, al-Qaeda has said, are going to be forced out. So you better believe the U.S. government's backing them, along with NATO. And they've said that they're going to kill some of the little minority Muslim groups that the Wahhabists don't consider to be real Islamic groups, even though they date back to the time of Muhammad. There's some little minority groups that are small little sects that Assad's a member of, and they're telling them, you're dead. And the Christians are dead if they don't leave. So Christians have been there for 2,000 years. In fact, one of the oldest Christian communities in the world is Syria. And they live in peace there. Well, not anymore. And it'll be a footnote in the news. What are we going to do? They're killing the Christians and the Jews. So there's Jews there, too. And the Muslims. And it'll just be, well, that's peace. Hey, they're lining up thousands of blacks and killing them in Libya. Well, that's peace. You know, Angelina Jolie loves it. You know, she says, attack Libya. And George Clooney's freaking out over Sudan and the Christians being bombed. And his answer is, have a big war there. And he's on there going, look, I'm here with these civilians being bombed, and right behind him are troops with machine guns. And by the way, I don't think flying over civilians and dropping bombs, carpet bombing, you know, in World War II that was done. And I've heard Limbaugh and people say, well, that's good. And, you know, in World War II, we killed millions with carpet bombing. You know, we need to stop worrying about that and do that in the Middle East. Really? Really, we didn't do that until World War II. And so I don't want to hear George Clooney criticizing the Muslims flying over what they believe are military bases and bombing them and killing civilians. By the way, I'm against it. And then, though, but it's good for the United States to do stuff like that. Again, it's schizophrenic, hypocritical thinking process. And I remember Limbaugh a few years ago, since I was mentioning him, saying, you know, listen to these generals apologizing for them, you know, killing civilians and bombings. Listen, you need to kill more people. That's what war is. Not in any military system except Genghis Khan or Attila the Hun until World War II. Until World War II. And, of course, Kurt Vonnegut, who was captured as a member of the U.S. military in Germany while it was being bombed, and watched his buddies being blown up. That's what Slaughterhouse 5 is about. They're being held in an old slaughterhouse as the prisoner of war camp. And he's describing the bombs going off and cussing at the aircraft that he'd just been in months before, bombing him. Dresden, they report, in one night lost over 400,000 people, most of them children, because it had been designated as a children's city. A city where you could, you know, England had some areas that were off limits from German bombing. And all you guys, you know, I see people saying, kill the Muslims, kill them all. Really, are you going to walk up to a little two-year-old little girl, your little eyes looking at you, going to shoot her? No, you're not. You're going to sit around and you're going to shoot your mouth off about how tough you are because you play video games all day simulating murder. And you think it's cute. It's not cute. Really, if you think killing all the Muslims and carpet bombing them is good, then endorse the sergeant who just killed 18 or 19 people, including little toddlers blowing their brains out. Endorse that then. Then I'll believe that you want to kill.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Joining us for the next hour, and perhaps a little bit into the next, we'll take some phone calls, is Dr. Russell Blaylock, MD. He's a retired board-certified neurosurgeon and author, helped develop and invent some of the most common forms of brain surgery we see today, so he's a pioneer. He's a former clinical professor of neurosurgery at the University of Mississippi Medical Center. He's the author of a number of books and numerous scientific articles, including excitotoxins. Decades ago, he exposed these. Now it's in the mainline literature. The Taste That Kills, 1994. Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, 2002. Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients, 2003. And he writes a monthly newsletter, The Blaylock Wellness Report, RussellBlaylockMD.com. RussellBlaylockMD.com is just one of his sites. Blaylock has, again, exposed MSG, H1N1, 3-4 years ago. He said it's going to reduce your overall immune system. It's going to actually cause the flu. And then after the whole run took place, they had to admit the H1N1 wasn't that dangerous. It reduced your normal immunity. It caused all sorts of neurological disorders. He got attacked at the time, but boy, did he get proven right in triplicate. And I want to cover the waterfront today with him, whatever areas he wants to get into. I want to look a little bit later, though, at government-run healthcare, because Paul Watson, one of our prolific writers, the editor of PrisonPlanet.com, is in England. He was a great writer a decade ago, saw his own website, PropagandaMatrix.com. I hired him. Well, he's actually a contractor, but he runs the site. And Paul jogs, great shape, everything. He got some type of chest cold and for a month could hardly talk when I'd get him on the phone or talk to him via Skype for the show. And it took him over a month to get in to see the government health service, the National Health Service. And once, and I knew this, but I'd forgotten it. I said, why don't you go to a private doctor? I know they have. And he goes, yes, you have to get in to see the government first. And then they have to refer you, if they feel like it, they have to refer you to a private specialist. So they take all this money, you know, out of his earnings. It's incredible for the National Health Service. 1 month. And I've watched the House of Commons on C-SPAN where they admit that you'll wait 18 months for a brain surgery that's 99% operable if it's done within a few months. And almost completely fatal if they don't immediately, you know, get in there. And it's a death sentence. And I've seen members of parliament admit, they go, yes, that is too long. We're working on it. It's rationing of care. But now they're admitting it is about the death panels. They're now, so Bill Gates has said that. Now they're admitting rationing. This is the horrible government over our health care as a tool of control. So I wanted to first raise that with him and then get into all the big developments on vaccines, aspartame, neurological disorders, things like what we see happening with the massive increases in people getting Alzheimer-type diseases, And the fact that the system knows that there are very effective countermeasures, but it's not being taught on the national news. So we're here to break that blockade. Dr. Blaylock, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Well, thank you, Alex.
Out of the gates, let's spend a few minutes on this socialist health care plan, and the Supreme Court's now hearing it, and they're saying it may be actually affirmed and approved, and life under this. I don't think people understand how horrible it is.
Well, I don't think they do. I think you're exactly right. And, of course, the socialists have always targeted health care in every country as their initial point of attack because it controls so much of the economy. I mean, the economy is interrelated to the health care system in so many ways. So they knew that if they could capture the health care system, that was a tremendous inroad to socializing the rest of the economy. Including taking private property, confiscating guns, and increasing the power of government in a dictatorial way. They knew all of that. And they knew that the public would find sympathetic ways to entice the public into this. We're going to pay for your health care. It's not right that people are doing without health care. And, of course, a lot of the truth of the health care system is covered up. Nobody in this country goes without health care. That was a total lie. They knew it. Anybody can walk into an emergency room and get treated, including illegal aliens. That's why these hospitals are going bankrupt. They knew that. They knew there was access everywhere to everyone. There's not a soul in this country that doesn't have access. But they made this argument, oh, we have these people that are not insured. Well, it turned out that most of them were young people who didn't want insurance. They said, I'm healthy, I'm young, I'm not going to probably need this. I can walk into any emergency room and get care. So they opted not to get the insurance. Well, they made you think, or the general public think, well, these people are so poor they can't afford health insurance and they're doing without and they're just dying in the street or in their homes. Well, you know, this is the same illusion they created in England to get their national health care system. It's the same system they used in France and Germany, all over the world. And it's only people like you and some of the others who are exposing this lie from the core. But once it's done, once you've socialized your system, you never get it back. It's just gone. And then all the thorns start appearing. Oh, they promised perfect health care. And in people's mind, this is the delusion. In people's mind, I'm still going to go in this beautiful office where my doctor has this office. I'm going to go in this beautiful hospital, this tremendously beautiful waiting area, and it's all going to be wonderful. And then when the reality hits and suddenly they're told, well, actually, you're going to be in a warehouse in a very bad part of town, in there with gangs. There'll probably be shootings while you're waiting to see the doctor. And this is exactly what Hillary Clinton did. You know, this is what they were designing in the beginning, is that you were going to be assigned an area that you would have to wait to see your doctor. And these assignment areas would put you in a very dangerous gang-held areas. Now, I've worked in a lot of charity hospital systems, the big charity hospital in New Orleans, one of the biggest one in the country. And I can guarantee you it could be quite dangerous sitting in a waiting room. And it could be dangerous being in that hospital. Physical danger from being stabbed, shot, attacked.
They're hellish. And this point specifically, they admit that, hey, you're not going to get that surgery. Biden publicly wrote that, hey, if you're above 65, you don't get the eye surgery. Just get a cane, get some thicker glasses. You're not going to get a knee surgery. Here's a cane. I mean, sure, you've got access to health care in Cuba, but you can't actually get any good treatments. But expanding on that, Paul Watson was starting to get scared, and I've asked him to come on the show soon to talk about it, because for a month he couldn't breathe, was coughing, probably had strep throat or something. And what I didn't finish saying was, in my long-windedness, doctor, when he finally got in, they didn't do a swab. They didn't even check. They said, here's some painkillers. Kind of like our troops in the VA, when they have a collapsed disc or something, they just say, here's some Prozac. And now he doesn't know what to do and is still sick. He walked in and some nurse practitioner just said, here's some painkillers, pal. I mean, that's socialism. That's what they do.
Well, in the national health care system, you know, I've traveled to England and visited with the doctors there and talked to the people who are patients in this national health care system. And it's a lot like the military. You know, when I was in the military, if you were sick, you got what was called a cold pack. Now, cold pack had some over-counter decongestants and pain relievers and things like that. Everybody got the same pack. There was no individual treatment. There was no consideration. Well, maybe you have pneumonia. Maybe you have something else wrong. You just got a cold pack in this little brown bag. That's exactly what they do in the National Health Service.
That's what they did. He said they gave him a little pack with Band-Aids and prescription painkillers. He's like, listen, I need you to check and see what I've got. And he's still sick, doctor. I mean, can you imagine living under this?
Well, they won't do it. And if you die in the process, you're just a number. And this is what people don't understand about socialized health care. You are a number. You're like a Social Security number. You're not a real person. You know, if you get involved and lose your Social Security number, I don't care how many forms of identification you have to the government, you're not real until you find that Social Security number. Well, that's what national health insurance is. You're just a number. Now, if your number disappears or your number is taken off the system because you die, well, that's not a real tragedy to the government and to the people running this system. It's just a group of numbers we have to remove because these people no longer exist. And I remember in England, they said people over age 55 can't get bypass surgery. Well, who needs bypass surgery? People over age 55. So essentially they were saying, we're going to kill off all the people that really need this heart surgery because it's going to save the system a lot of money.
And on average, they're going to take 10% out of everybody's paycheck. This isn't free health care. And now you don't get heart surgery, you don't get knee surgery, and you can't get to a private doctor, even if you have the money, unless they say you can. And Paul is now begging them to let him go see a private doctor. Can you imagine the bureaucrats having the power of life and death over you?
I'll give you another story from Canada. I talked to a physician in Canada, and he told me, he says, my father was in the hospital in Canada with a heart condition. The elevators do not work. He was required to walk up the steps, said he was dying in the hallway. There was no one around. And this is a physician. The son was a physician, and this is how they treated him. And he said, the elevators commonly don't run in many of the hospitals here. Well, this is exactly what happened in the Soviet Union. In the Soviet Union, on their socialized system, they put the EKG lab on the very top floor of the hospital, and the elevators never worked. So heart patients had to walk up 5, 6, 7 flights of stairs, and a lot of them died on the way up there.
Amazing. Stay there. And again, they sucked the money out of you your whole life through the socialist system, and then they just don't give you the health care and keep it. Because they're a bunch of eugenicists. Dr. Blaylock's our guest. Stay with us. We're going to try to save some lives and stop socialism. The next stop that we make will be mine. Tell all the folks in Russia and China too. Don't you know that it's time to get on. Dr. Russell Blaylock. RussellBlaylockMD.com is our guest. I want to get into saving lives because more and more I have listeners that call me, email me, that come to events I've had, and we're doing question and answer. It's not even on health. And they say, I heard Dr. Russell Blaylock, or your name's probably comes up more than anybody else's. I heard the health ranger, Mike Adams. I heard this other doctor you had on talking about getting off aspartame, getting off MSG, essential fatty acid diets for Alzheimer's patients. My husband, my mother is back. This is magic. Why didn't my doctor tell me? And this term is now just basically surfaced that I see all over the web now. InfoWars saves lives. Well, not InfoWars, our guests. So when I get you on and start really thanking you profusely, it's that you and others really did the homework, and you really are saving a lot of people. It's got to feel good, doctor, but I know it's also got to be frustrating to know that the system knows what you know and doesn't want people to have that information.
Well, that's the sad thing about this, Alex, is they do know. The type of material and information I give out to the public comes from Medline, which is the PubMed, where all the articles are published in the peer-reviewed journals, the top journals in the world. So this is all well-known literature, easily accessible. They know these are the top-flight researchers in the world in all of these different areas. The vast majority of this material, particularly the very life-saving material, is kept from the public. For instance, they love to hawk about 39,000 people dying every year from the flu. Well, nobody actually dies from the flu. They die from complications such as pneumonia. And there's several cases, I wrote it in my last newsletter, of giving high-dose intravenous vitamin C dramatically saved these people. These people were on respirators, and the doctors were trying to convince the parents and the family to let the patient die because they were so far down the road. And they gave them intravenous vitamin C at the family's insistence and completely recovered. Within days, they had remarkable recovery, removed from the respirator. And this happened numerous times. Well, if you look in the scientific literature, there's good explanations as to why this happens. The safety of this far exceeds the safety of anything that's being done otherwise, far exceeds the safety of vaccines. And in the field of vaccines, we know that if you increase vitamin D3 level in children and pregnant women, and you do a couple of simple things to improve the nutrition, it dramatically improves your resistance to these viruses and bacteria and would cut the death rate and complication rate of these common infections enormously. And it's just common sense, because if you look at foreign countries, for instance, you go to Africa, the death rate from measles is 300% higher than it is in the United States. Well, why is that? Because of the poor nutrition, poor public health. They have other infections. But in the United States, we don't. And so the death rate from common things like measles is so infinitely low. It's ridiculous to vaccinate every child in the United States with this vaccine or many of these other vaccines. Nurses are being required to get a tetanus vaccine or they can't work in the hospital. And nobody, not one soul has asked the simple question, do you think nurses are going to spread tetanus to their patients? Well, tetanus is not a communicable disease. Unless you have a deep cut that's cut off from the oxygen, like a puncture wound, you're not going to get tetanus. And it has to come from the feces of an animal. That's where the organism comes from. Yet they're forcing nurses and doctors to get tetanus shots on a regular basis.
Ranch workers, I mean, I've been a ranch worker. Ranch workers are the people that need tetanus shots.
Exactly. And they're making newborn babies. They're having newborn babies get tetanus shot at 6 months of age. Well, what do you think the risk of tetanus in a six-month-old child in the United States of America is? Well, he's more likely to be hit by a meteor. It's just absolutely absurd when we start looking at the details of this, and that all of this is well demonstrated in the scientific literature, and that the science is on our side, not on their side. They're lying. And they're lying grossly, and they're allowed to lie because the media is controlled and in their pocket. And so the media, even though you may meet some journalists who would agree with everything I'm saying and say this is very important information, when they go to their network and try to get it put on, they'll kill it. Because they...
Dr. Blaylock, stay there. Long segment coming up. I want to get into this move now to try to make vaccines mandatory. I want to look at Alzheimer's and whatever else you think is most important straight ahead. We'll be right back with Russell Blaylock, MD.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance, rallying patriots worldwide. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
We're about to go back to Dr. Russell Blaylock, who'll be with us 20 minutes into the next hour, coming up in the next segment, and then for the 20 minutes into the third hour ahead of Dr. Jerome Corsi joining us with big breaking news on the providence of Obama. I was skeptical 3-4 years ago that his name was Barry Sotero and he was an illegal alien and all this. Now it's been proven his name was Barry Sotero, and they've got some new witnesses. That's coming up. We also have a Little Rock renaming its airport to honor Bill and Hillary Clinton. And I think that's funny because you all know about Mena, Arkansas, what they were flying in there. Now, before I go back to Dr. Blaylock, I just want to mention here that I've done a lot of research, and there are a lot of great gravity-fed filters on the market. But for my family, I did over 2 years of off and on research, bought different models, different units, and I found the ProPure Complete, and it is heads above all of the competition. If you want the best gravity-fed filters that work a lot better than the other ones I've seen out there, I mean, it's just the next generation in it. It's amazing. And we have it discounted at the lowest price you're going to find it anywhere. And the company that manufactures them are great patriots. And so we reached out to them, I don't know, 6 months ago. And I said, I want to carry your products. And so if you want to check out the best gravity-fed filter out there, the Pro Pure Big Complete, and we have a link to some of their other models there as well at Infowars.com. You can link through to the online shopping cart, or you can call our office if you have any questions. 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. And, of course, we're carrying all the great books and videos and films that help wake people up at Infowars.com as well. And your purchase of the T-shirts, the books, all of it supports this news operation. And we are able to continue our operation and grow thanks to what you're doing in the face of the globalist trying to set up this tyranny. So very, very exciting. I want to thank all of you that do support us at Infowars.com. And we also have Infowars Nightly News at PrisonPlanet.tv and all of my films posted there, 15 cents a day. Again, that's PrisonPlanet.tv. We have 15-day free trial you can check out there to see all the media. And we put most of it for free on YouTube as well. It's just this is a place to get it in higher quality on our own platform where they can't censor us or take down our information. 9 years up and running in April. So PrisonPlanet.tv, check it out today. Okay, going back to retired brain surgeon Russell Blaylock, RussellBlaylockMD.com, of course, is the website. I want to cover a bunch of issues now before we go to calls. And the number to join us, if you have medical questions, he can't specifically diagnose you or give you, but you know, general questions for him or nutritional questions, 800-259-9231. I had a prominent person who's got some family with Alzheimer's, you know, say, can you get me in touch with Dr. Blaylock? And Dr. Blaylock, of course, points out it's all pretty much on his site already. And in his books. But before we get into Alzheimer's and all the rest of it, Dr. Blaylock, as you know, California, many other areas are now saying, we'll shoot your kids up with Gardasil without even asking you. And schools everywhere, oops, we shot everybody up with the flu shot this year and didn't ask. It was an accident. The system, now that we're waking up, is trying to move in and force this down people's throats. What's your take on that?
Well, this is experimenting on the public without their permission. It's a violation of Nuremberg Medical Code. It's a violation of our Constitution. And it's a violation of common decency. I mean, do they think that an 11-year-old young lady going to a school, a middle school, can make an informed consent, an informed decision about a vaccine that's killed over 100 girls and has caused something like 19,000 serious reactions? And that's just reporting 2 to 10% of the reactions. It's probably as many as 200,000. So, you know, the whole thing to me is the lack of informed consent. And the reason we have that and why almost all lawsuits against the medical profession is based on violations of informed consent is because it's so important. If a doctor gives you a pill, he has to tell you what are the side effects of this pill, what is the efficacy of this pill, what can happen to me if I take this pill? How does it interact with other things? They don't do that with vaccinations. You walk into the office, they say, everybody needs to get a pneumococcal vaccine if you're over age 55. They don't tell you the complications. They don't tell you what's in the vaccine. They don't tell you that a large number of them are contaminated with some very serious viruses and mycoplasma that can cause cancer, degenerative brain disorders. There's so many things they don't tell you. Now, in this Gardasil shot, they don't tell you. There has never been any evidence that this prevents cervical cancer. They don't tell you that cervical cancer is one of the rarest female cancers in the United States. They don't tell you that if you're already infected with the HPV virus, it actually increases your risk of developing cervical cancer. And they don't tell you that there's no evidence that this is even a strong correlation with this vaccine and reducing the changes that lead to cervical cancer. So no one's getting informed consent with this vaccine or the other vaccines. You're just told to line up and take them. And if you develop complications, then that's your problem, and it was for the greater good. But no one knows risk levels. No one knows that, well, your risk of getting tetanus in a city situation where most people live is so infinitesimal, it's ridiculous. Yet every little tiny cut, mothers will bring their kids into the emergency room, and the physician say, well, we better give a tetanus booster, which is ridiculous. That child's risk of getting tetanus is just infinitesimal. But the mother is convinced that, well, I better do it because I don't want him to get lockjaw and die, which is nonsense. Now, doctors don't even know these things. That's the problem. They don't know about vaccine safety issues. They don't know what aluminum does. They don't even know that I've talked to a lot of physicians who didn't even know aluminum was in vaccines. They don't know that the amount of aluminum in a Gardasil vaccine or a hepatitis B vaccine is 50 times higher than the EPA says is safe. They don't say that when you vaccinate a small child with the hepatitis B vaccine, that would be like giving an adult 36 vaccines at one time.
Well, doctor, where is this headed? Because the numbers show people are waking up. The facts are getting out there, so the big pharma is just tripling or more its propaganda campaign. Everywhere I go to a Walgreens or CVS, they're pushing vaccines at the counter when you're there buying toilet paper and whatever. I see signs everywhere. I mean, they are really trying to cram this down our throats as their answer to people waking up.
And the government allows them to do things that no one else can do. If I make a supplement and it contains an ingredient for which there are 800 studies that say that it reduces cancer, and I put on there that this has been shown in research studies to reduce cancer, they will burn my product, put me in prison, and destroy all the literature that I have. Now, the vaccine manufacturer can go and put prevent flu, 36,000 people die every year, and multitude of other lies and deceptions. There's no accountability. Nobody's arrested. The vaccines are not destroyed. And the public's not told that this is incorrect information and you're being lied to on a gross scale. No one is told these vaccines are contaminated, yet numerous studies have shown that up to 60% of vaccines are contaminated with live viruses, viral fragments, and components that can produce chronic disease. Nobody is told that these adjuvants can produce dramatic increases in multiple sclerosis, blindness, ALS, multitude of diseases and conditions. Nobody's told that. You're just told that this is something you should do and your child should have this shot. I've had mothers tell me the doctor chased them down the hall. Tell them you've got to have your daughter vaccinated with Gardasil. If not, she's going to get cervical cancer. Now, he knows, if he's saying that, he knows nothing about cervical cancer, and he knows absolutely nothing about this vaccine.
Well, doctor, as you said, I actually read the studies when they were testing it, and it was killing people and causing autoimmune responses and seizures, and they admit it isn't even proven to protect you from it. A few thousand women a year, generally with other complications, might die from it. People who have run down immune systems or HIV already, it's basically a phantom menace. There are all sorts of treatments that are, as you know, 90%+ operable. It's a total hoax. And then it came out years later, oh, there was phantom viruses and RNA in this. And when that kills somebody's cheerleader daughter or paralyzes them, they're just told, shut up.
Yeah, they cover it up. I mean, all of this is covered up. We had 100 deaths from this vaccine. India had one death from this vaccine and canceled all further vaccinations with it. But the United States, there's so much money involved. There's such control. There's such lying by the federal organizations like the CDC. The public has trouble getting the truth. But here's what's happening, Alex. Because of your program and others, the public is beginning to wake up that these vaccines are not as safe and effective as they've been sold. And so they're resisting it. More and more people are trying to opt out. Well, their answer to that is they're going to state legislatures and the federal government to make it mandatory. And there was even an article in the Journal of Bioethics which said people should be made to take experimental vaccines against their will, whether they want them or not, and their children. Well, they're talking about now about vaccinating babies with anthrax vaccine.
Unbelievable. Well,
that killed almost 70,000 American soldiers getting the anthrax vaccine, a 200% increase in ALS, a fatal disease in these soldiers, and they want to vaccinate six-month-old babies against the mother's will.
Let me stop you right there, because you've talked about eugenics, you've sourced the books, the documents. This is beyond madness. They want to test maiming and killing people to see if they can get away with it and titrate the dose, you know, build up the amount of poison and death that we'll accept. And, of course, you're mentioning facts. For those that don't remember, when they first started giving the anthrax vaccine to the troops, there were heart attacks, seizures, autoimmune disorders, dying. Then they gave the smallpox vaccine, killed a bunch of people. And doctors mutinied at the military bases, first in Colorado, then Kentucky. For folks that don't remember this, go look it up if we have journalists listening. What Blaylock's telling you happened, they were giving an experimental, illegal shot. Even in the military, it's illegal to give them experimental. And now, you're right, they're saying, give it to babies when they admit in the literature, by the way, this vaccine doesn't even protect you from anthrax. I mean, it's crazy.
That's exactly right. There's no evidence that it's even effective, and there's growing evidence that it's not effective. The company that was making the anthrax vaccine was owned by the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff under Bill Clinton. He had the factory. It was so filthy, they closed it down. The vaccine was horribly contaminated.
That was Bioport, right, in Michigan.
Bioport. And then they reopened it, and they're still vaccinating our soldiers with this highly contaminated vaccine. And they're having long-term neurological disorders, abnormal births of their babies. And what people don't realize, these vaccines in these children are causing their brains to be abnormally developed. So they're having ADD, ADHD, they're having autism, they're having speech problems. There's just numerous neurodevelopmental problems related to this. And I've written it up in a journal. I've written a paper on the effect of vaccines on neurodevelopment, which you can get off my website. All these papers I've published, you can get off the website, which goes into enormous detail. All of it's highly referenced. I even did a webcast lecture, which the CDC scientist signed on to. And during question and answers, after I presented all this, he didn't have a single question. Well, if I'm wrong, he should have lit into me and showed me where I was wrong. But he didn't even open his mouth because he knew I was right, and I was backed up by the scientific literature. This is terrifying. You see, and we even now, that very bioethics journal now not only says that you should be forced into experimental vaccine trials, but now it's saying, well, also we should kill babies, or mothers should be able to kill babies after they're born, even small children, and that you can't even take these babies and have them adopted by somebody else, that we prefer that they be killed.
Yeah, let me stop you right there. Paul Watson, a month or so ago, found that in the prestigious Journal of Bioethics. We posted it within days. The London Telegraph and others picked it up. But U.S. News carried it like, maybe it's good. The state or the parents will decide. And then they went on to say, old people, too. Let's just go ahead and get rid of them, like Bill Gates said. Kill grandma. You can hire 10 teachers. But when that first broke, Doctor, people thought it was satire. They went and read it and thought, well, this can't be true. I mean, that's how diabolical these eugenicists are. Why do you think the eugenicists are starting to come out of the closet?
Because they think they've gained all the power, and that what are you going to do about it? And this is, if you've read the history of the medical abuse in Germany and in the Soviet Union, this is exactly the pattern. Once they gain the power, once they have the dictatorial power, then they start openly telling things. Well, you know, we think it's not a bad idea that we abort babies right up to the time of birth. And then, oh, well, you know, after birth, we should be able to kill children and even small children. You know, Watson and Crick, the DNA discoverer, came forward and said, well, you should be able to kill a child up to age 4. I mean, because you don't really know whether you like that child until it gets a little older.
And of course, he's a famous eugenicist who said black people weren't human and had to step down. They're all a bunch of eugenicist maniacs. How do we stop these people?
Well, one, by exposure, you know, and people's got to start pushing back. That's the only thing that stops them. As long as people seem apathetic, and I'm convinced that so many vaccines and drugs and MSG and the food is making people apathetic. You know, there's mind control techniques that were used by the Soviet Union to make mass numbers of people apathetic. So you could tell them anything, and they just didn't react. They didn't seem to be concerned about it. And I think a lot of the drugs we're seeing on the market now have that effect. They're even talking about the common drug like propranolol. Make people where they're not racist. And when you read the scientific article as to, well, how does it work? Well, it makes them apathetic.
Wait, that same journal came out last week and said, drug the water to make us behave.
Exactly. And they're openly saying this because they think, well, we're so powerful now. We have the government on our side. We have this Homeland Security Gestapo. So we can force this. And what are the people going to do about it? They don't understand that.
Well, I know this. Anybody tries to forcibly inoculate my children, that's the line in the sand. They're going to get inoculated with lead. And I'm not somebody that talks about violence. You try to hurt my children, you know what's going to happen. We are sending out an SOS to everyone across the world. You know, 15 years ago, I would read eugenicist documents, UN reports about setting up world government, breaking up the family, euthanizing babies up to any age. And Dr. Peter Singer at Yale promoting it. And people would hear me and think, you're crazy. But then the internet got more popular and I could show people the document when I talked about it. And now they're just out in the open. Yeah, poison the water to make you behave. Yeah, we're going to give the troops lithium. Yeah, we're going to put the troops on Prozac when they have psychotic breaks. You know, no big deal. It's all in your face now. And I played the clip earlier in the week from C-SPAN, 1995, then Deputy Attorney General, to back up what Dr. Blaylock was saying about brainwashing, where the Attorney General, Deputy at the time, Eric Holder, said, I met with all the media heads and told them, you got to brainwash people against guns. That's how they see it. That's what they're doing. And speaking of brainwashing, here's that clip.
Adults as well, is that we just have to be repetitive about this. It's not enough to simply have a catchy ad on a Monday and then only do it every Monday. We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way. We also want to have a hotline that we will set up and have the number of that hotline that you would just go out there, and that would be something that people would have emblazoned in their minds so that when they see a
That's
gun
right.
or become familiar about the
And then they put billboards up saying report illegal guns in Texas and show a revolver. And then idiots come to your house and see a framed gun on the wall, even a replica, and they call the police on you. Dr. Blaylock, we're going to start the next hour and go to calls, but I haven't even gotten into Alzheimer's here with you and the rest of it. But getting back to eugenics, do they have a leg up on us because it's so diabolical, people just don't even know how to respond to it?
Well, yeah, it's like a lot of these really shocking things. You saw this in Germany and the Soviet Union. When they first present this, it's just so shocking. People say, well, it can't be. Maybe I misunderstood it. It's like you said about the article in Bioethics. Oh, you must have misunderstood the article. Well, I read the actual article. It's exactly what it said. And it was shocking to me that someone would openly say you should kill babies after they're born, even small children. And they say, well, at what age would you stop killing the children? What's the cutoff point? Well, we haven't really decided as yet. Now, this is right out of the Nazi Germany and the Soviet Union. This is the sort of things they did. I mean, you used to see the movies about Mengele and experiments he was doing on people and these horrible medical programs where they were taking up people that had multiple sclerosis and exterminating them. And now we're seeing this openly proposed. People in this administration are openly proposing that we use life years as the gauge. In other words, if you're a certain age, they estimate how much longer a life could you have, and therefore you only have, in their estimation, 10 more years. Therefore, yeah. We're not going to have that heart operation.
Yeah, they decide with these panels, the death panels, and now they admit, oh, there are death panels, but it's even worse. It was terrible that Hitler killed handicapped children. They're saying in that ethics thing, if the parents don't like the kid or don't like how they behave, kill them. They're saying kill healthy three-year-olds. Well, then I guess the guy over in Toulouse shouldn't get in trouble. I think he's a monster shooting a three-year-old and a seven-year-old. But according to them, I mean, these aren't humans.
Well, that's what you want. What are you going to do with these court cases where these young girls have babies and put them in dumpsters and they die? If such a thing is passed, they say, well, I didn't do anything different than it's endorsed by the state. Or if a mother drowns her children like the woman did with her two little small children, what is she going to, is that going to be her defense? Well, the government endorses this. They do this.
Totally sick. They're moving the Overton window. They're twisting our minds. Back in 60 seconds with your phone calls.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months. Simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, we've got this little 5-minute segment, then a 12-minute segment to take your calls. Dr. Russell Blaylock is our guest. RussellBlaylockMD.com is just one of his great websites. I meant to get into Alzheimer's. We haven't even done that yet, but perhaps we'll talk a little bit about that before this next 20 minutes ends. We've got listeners on XM Channel 166, like Sergio. We've got others all holding there. Let's start going to the phone calls. Let's talk to Buron in Alabama. You're on the air with Dr. Blaylock.
Thank you, Alex, man. It's great to listen to you and be on the air. You mangle my name every time, though. It's Buron.
I'm sorry. You know, I've had too many vaccines.
I know, man. But I appreciate it. I won't take up too much of your time. I got two specific questions and kind of maybe one suggestion. With time running out and the amount of information that's necessary to really process all these things to actually break through it mentally to where you understand what's happening, I was wondering if maybe you think it's a better idea to help start a campaign to wake up doctors and have them also speak out.
Okay, that's a great question, number one. What's the second question?
The second question is about vaccines and possibly is it an all these effects we talk about cognitively and behaviorally as far as kind of warping the kids' minds. Do you think that the vaccines are, one, an amplifier for these other conditions like the food, you know, as far as GMO and other things?
Sure, a binary weapon system. And then your suggestion.
The suggestion was a campaign about waking up doctors. The second question is about vaccines specifically. And
no, I heard that. I appreciate your call. It's great questions. Dr. Blaylock?
Well, yeah, we're in the process of waking up some doctors. I'm a lecturer at the Anti-Aging Conference, which is huge conference. I mean, we have thousands of people, a lot of which are doctors. And I teach a course, part of the course, and the doctors come from all over the world. And so a lot more interested in this, a lot more wanting to know. I get emails from doctors from Canada, a lot from Canada, from Australia, from New Zealand, Germany, Czech Republic. So we're getting doctors to start looking at some of this. Of course, it's just a drop in the bucket. Most doctors are just totally brainwashed. And brainwashing, as you know, is very powerful. Primarily what brainwashing does is to make sure you don't look outside of the accepted program. And so they're always telling doctors, well, these are fringe scientists. These are not people who use evidence-based medicine. And that's the way they convince the public and the doctors not to listen to this information.
Yeah, I've had doctors argue with me, and then I pull out the insert, and then they go, oh, there is mercury in the shot. I mean, 10 years ago, they had the hoax that there wasn't mercury in them.
Well, and they don't know about aluminum. You tell them there's aluminum in shots. Oh, there's no aluminum in shots. We'll say, well, why don't you get your PDR and go look it up?
What about the magnifying question, the adjuvant, not just for the things in the shot, but then other environmental factors?
Well, the adjuvant is the most dangerous thing in it. It contains a number of toxins, formaldehyde, which is a carcinogenic, a very potent carcinogenic. It damages DNA. The aluminum is a very powerful brain toxin. They put MSG in it. There's all sorts of things. And now they want to put squalene in it. Well, squalene produces horrible neurological damage. And this is what happened with H1N1 overseas. They put squalene in it, and all these children were coming up with narcolepsy and other serious brain disorders. So the problem is the physician has been programmed not to listen to us, not to look at this information, but we're making some inroads because the public is demanding it. The public is going to their doctor's office saying, I don't want to hear any of that nonsense anymore. I want some informed consent. How dangerous is this vaccine? What's in it? And this is what I tell patients. I said, when you go to your doctor's office, you ask him these questions. And what you'll find out is he can't answer any of them.
And you asking the question makes the doctor go learn the information. Call straight ahead with Dr. Blaylock.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
This is our final segment with calls with Dr. Russell Blaylock. Then we're going to have Dr. Corsi popping in. Obama chides birthers while media spikes Ayers bombshell. Postman says Ayers' parents put foreign student Obama through school. Yeah, release your college records. It's now on record. Your name was Barry Sotero. Everybody called you Barry. That was a conspiracy theory 3 years ago. Now they admit that. I'm telling you, folks, this is serious. Also, Bloomberg is banning canned food donations to homeless shelters. You just got to give money, I guess, so the charities can steal it. Just incredible. Of course, the studies out there show that pure food donations are the best type because they actually get to people most of the time. Not like Bono's Bill and Melinda Gates thing where they give 1% of the money to people in Africa and then that's what strings attached, eugenics strings attached. We've got that. So much going on. We're going back to Dr. Blaylock here. Also, Kurt Nemo is about to post an article that French intelligence, it's confirmed, the guy was at a prison in Afghanistan, protected. It looks like another setup with the election of Sarkozy going on, the terrible shootings over there. It just follows the exact MO of past ones where we've caught them doing this. Could be a real lunatic, but it looks bad. Looks like a setup or somebody they let do this, bare minimum. So that report's about to go up on InfoWars.com. Let's go to Mike in Illinois. You're on the air with Dr. Blaylock. Go ahead.
Hi, I want to thank both of you gentlemen. I want to thank you from the bottom of my family's heart because, you know, you're helping both of my stepdaughters. Well, on a side note, I want to tell you, though, I've lost about half a pant size after I started with Tangy Tangerine. You can feel it. Well, anyway, Dr. Blaylock, my 16-year-old girl just contracted fructose intolerance. She can't even have potato starch. There are so many things she can't have. And is there any way to reverse what might have happened with the vaccines? And also, my other stepdaughter is type 1 diabetic since age 6, and I found out that came from one of the, I read in the insert about that, onset of it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. The vaccines is strongly connected to the type 1 diabetes, this juvenile diabetes. You see, a lot of the diseases produced by vaccines, the public has no clue that they're connected. So when we say, oh, we protected 25 children against complications by measles, well, at the same time, you produce juvenile diabetes in thousands of children. You produce asthma in tens of thousands of children. You've induced tumors in thousands of children. None of that's counted because the public has no clue that that's connected to these vaccines. But there's compelling evidence of a connection. For instance, the SV40 virus contamination of the polio vaccine back before 1963. It's estimated that this virus is responsible for a great number of tumors, including brain tumors in children.
They don't debate that, by the way. For those, that, I mean, you're not just saying this, doctor. That's been on record for decades, but it's a little quiet secret.
Well, it's in the medical literature. It's quite well accepted. And it's accepted that a tumor I dealt with a lot called a medulloblastoma, which is a horrible tumor and used to be 100% fatal in these little children. Well, we know SV40 induces medulloblastoma. And so all of these perfectly normal children that develop that tumor, that SV40-induced tumor, well, how do you count that? The parents weren't told that, well, you know, this came from that polio vaccine that you got because it's passed through generations. And SV40 goes from generation to generation to generation. From now on, there's no way to remove it.
Let me raise this point to you. This is murder. We've done whole shows on the eugenics angle. At a certain point, well, you said it. We've got to expose these people and then demand that grand juries start indicting them. And people are like, oh, they're the medical mafia. You can't do that. Once this idea gets out, that's why they're now, because they're getting exposed, they're admitting it, trying to just condition everybody that it's okay because they're openly talking about it. I mean, it's time to bring these folks to justice.
Well, this is why they're mandating these things, because they know the public's waking up to the dangers. So now they want to take that option away from you, that you're going to do it whether you want to or not, or we'll take your child away from you by social services, and we'll forcibly vaccinate your child, just like they did in Maryland, where they forcibly vaccinated in a courtroom 1,000 teenagers, giving them 19 vaccines. Now, the judge was in violation of the law. He is not a physician. For him to order someone to get 19 vaccines, which clearly the indications say...
How about this? I don't mean to interrupt, but this is so incredible. How, until 5 years ago or 3 years ago, as you know, the H1N1, they said never give a pregnant woman vaccines. Now they're on the news saying, pregnant women, get your shot. It's good. I mean, they're trying to kill people.
Well, the thing about this, I've really studied this intensely, and there's a lot of research showing that if you stimulate the immune system in a pregnant woman during certain times of the pregnancy, you dramatically increase the risk of that baby developing schizophrenia or autism later in life. So this child, when it grows up and it's 20 years old and develops schizophrenia, It's most likely due to that series of vaccines that was recommended by the government, the CDC, and the pediatricians, American Academy of Pediatrics. Now, this is solid research, and we know it's not due to the infectious organism. It's due to stimulating the immune system. And the very immune component, interleukin 6, that the vaccine causes a dramatic elevation of, is the culprit. It's what's causing these children to develop the schizophrenia. Well, if you vaccinate every pregnant woman in this country with this vaccine or series of vaccines, we're going to have an explosion of schizophrenia in 10 to 15 years from now.
Sure.
And a lot more autism.
Just like women who worked in factories that had a lot of lead and mercury, they would have almost everybody in the factory would have schizophrenic children. It's just well known. It's so diabolical. It's so, and of course, I interrupted you. You're talking about, that was on the news, dogs barking, SWAT teams, no law, you got to take shots. And I had the state attorney on who ordered it. And I said, sir, there's no law. And he goes, you ought to be a lawyer. And I said, no, I'm not a lawyer. I just know there's no law. And he goes, well, you're right, but we didn't tell him that. By the way, I don't vaccinate my children. And he started laughing. And I was like, how is that cute? They get off on deceiving people. I mean, it was outrageous, doctor.
Well, I had written an article in the paper in Maryland saying that the reporters need to ask the governor who was behind this if he vaccinated his children, if he had these vaccines. The reporter asked him that, and he refused to answer. He said, that's my private business.
Well, look at Germany, where they have the, quote, clean vaccines for the military because they refuse to take the regular stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they're all taking special vaccines, and they're avoiding these adjuvants that they know cause problems. And I propose over Mike Adams' program that we should say, by law, all the CDC scientists and all those proposing this and the CEOs of Merck Pharmaceuticals and these other pharmaceutical companies should have to take every vaccine they recommend forcibly before they can recommend it to the public. Now, I guarantee you, if you went to the president of Merck Pharmaceutical and said, I want to give you 26 vaccines the way they give it to children the first year of their life, he would jump out of a window to get away from you.
I tell you, that's why they may not ever make it completely mandatory. They're just saying the school's going to shoot your kid up and not tell you because they don't ever want it to be totally mandatory because they know. In fact, doctor, and then we'll go to a few calls and let you go, and I appreciate your time. And one of the other alternate websites is BlaylockWellnessCenter.com, BlaylockWellnessCenter.com. But before we take a few final calls here with you, I have dug up mainstream articles where the communist Chinese will not take any vaccines. This is even in the LA Times, where they have secret gardens only growing non-GMO. They will not eat MSG. They will not drink aspartame. They're obsessed. The Rockefellers, the Queen of England, I've got articles on all of them. The Monsanto factories, their engineers have special cafeterias. This goes back 10 years, and they refuse to eat any GMO. And it turns out across the board, the elites know what they're doing. You add that to all their documents admitting they're doing this to us, it's open and shut. We've got them from one end to the other. This is a criminal conspiracy of medical genocide through the system, and they've just been beta testing it so far. Now I see them accelerating the program.
Absolutely. And you know, I get responses from Chinese doctors. They want to know about this. I get a response from European doctors. They're terrified of this. When I did this, worked with a scientist in the Czech Republic, I wrote a number of articles for her, and she translated them into Czech. And it was so overwhelming to the public, they were refusing to take this H1N1, and they ended up having to destroy $10 million worth of the H1N1 vaccine. The president of the Czech Republic refused to take it from reading the articles I had written. And the head of their CDC, she was telling everyone, you need to take this vaccine. They found out she refused to take it.
Look, so, if we just keep fighting, we're going to win, sir. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, it's just a double standard, and the public needs to understand it. It's kind of like the Congress. They don't want to be in Social Security, but they want to lock you into it. We have our own Social Security system. Well, it's the same thing. We don't eat this GMO food. We don't drink fluoride. We don't consume MSG like you do. That's just for the cattle, what they consider the cattle. And they think of us like cattle or social security numbers. We're not really human. We're expendable. And that's this whole group think, this idea that you're just part of the masses, and the masses don't really matter. It's the public good, and we decide what's the public good. Well, that's what they do in the Soviet Union under communism and Nazi Germany. They decide what's the public
exactly. Good. It's a total replay. Dr. Blaylock's our guest for just a few more minutes. Our site's Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. And when you support the broadcast by spreading the word about the show, buying books, videos, supporting our sponsors, you allow this to continue. Think about what we're doing right now. We are having a huge effect. Dr. Blaylock's material is read across the world by even heads of state. My information, I've had number three in the Japanese government on. I've had members of Congress. They're waking up. All the time I get Walter Jones on, or I get other Congress people on. They're listeners. We are really having an effect. And the earlier caller said, reach out to doctors with this info. That's what I found. My dad is incredibly smart, oral surgeon, dentist, but he'd have arguments and go, look, fluoride's not bad. You need some sodium fluoride. They wouldn't tell us to do this. And I gave him the literature a decade ago. And he went, this is toxic waste. It's more than just fluoride. And it's a toxic acid. And, now he tells people. So the point is, doctors and dentists and people don't imagine that those above them are evil. So they just trust because they're good people. And people have to stop being so trusting.
Exactly. I would recommend that your listeners read an article that's posted on my website called Managed Truth, which I had published in the Surgical Neurology International Journal. But it describes how we got here and what this is all about, its origins. And I also have an article on there about neuropharmacology as a Soviet weapon against the United States, which is all about mind control drugs and the drug problem we have in the United States and why we have it and what they're doing with it. Well, it's not just the Soviet system that's doing it. It's also the CIA, the NSA. They're also using these mind-controlled drugs.
And they're now out in the open. Let's talk to Sergio in California, listening on XM Channel 166. Sergio, welcome.
Hey, thank you. I just wanted to make a quick comment and then ask Dr. Bayock a question. My comment is just for the listeners to know, mainly parents, because I'm an uncle. I'm not a father myself, but I've learned a lot from helping to raise my nephews and being around them and to hear what's going on and how these psychopathic scum are just targeting the most innocent of our people and going after them. It should really piss off parents out there who are listening right now, and they need to do something to take action.
Yeah, I agree. We've got to warn people. And I'll be honest, when I talk about these subjects, I have a lot of things going through my mind about what I'd like to do to people. But that's why instead of just fantasizing about that, we need to get out there and reach out to people, because the info is what's going to, believe me, once we wake enough people up, we're going to send all these people to prison. There's going to be new Nuremberg trials, everything. But we've got to believe in that and do it. What's your question for Dr. Blaylock?
Definitely. But anyways, my question was kind of off the cuff, more of a general health question. I was wondering if, actually for you too, if what you guys think about microwaves and about microwave food, and if you have a microwave in your house.
Okay, let me, I do for heating up water and stuff. It does break down the molecular structure and destroy the ring structures from what doctors have told me and nutritionists. Dr. Blaylock, you want to stab at that?
Well, Dr. Becker has done the most studies on microwave radiation and the effects on human health, and it's pretty devastating, and it is important. I would avoid microwave radiation as much as possible. Yeah, I think it's a health hazard, and as one of your callers said, these things are interacting. For instance, they found out that if you vaccinate an animal and then years later you expose them to a pesticide toxin, they produce greater brain damage than they would ordinarily. So there's this interaction, a toxic interaction of different things, like the GMO foods, the MSG, the fluoride, the aluminum, the adjuvants.
There's no doubt. We lead the world in every disease, allergies are just epidemic. Let's take one more quick call here for Dr. Blaylock, or maybe two. Robert in Texas, you're on the air with our guest.
Yes, diagnosed with diabetes today. And 243 blood sugar level, and it's a VA doctor over off of Metopolis. Just wondering if you got anybody in Austin or what I can do, because he wants to give me a shot for my immune system, something every 5 to 10 years.
Yes, sir. I'm not going to give you medical advice, but I would immediately go off all processed foods, all GMO, and I would immediately go on vitamin and mineral powders, and I would see if you can control that yourself before they start putting you on stuff, because then from what I've read, I'm no doctor, what doctors have told me, once you start taking the insulin, once you start getting into this, that's what really gets you. Dr. Blaylock?
Yeah, I've written several newsletters on how to control type 2 diabetes very easily. And there's a number of things like curcumin and quercetin that control the blood sugar, cinnamon extract, alpha lipoic acid. They all can correct this. Change your diet, eat a lot of vegetables, avoid the sugar and the high fructose corn syrup. And almost everybody can cure themselves of type 2 diabetes doing that.
Did you hear that? But you're going to have to change your ways, my friend. They're doing this to us on purpose, especially the high fructose corn syrup breaks down from the medical science into systems that absolutely fry your body.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I had enough depleted uranium. I got the whole point on it.
So you got a little DU, a little DU.
Oh, yeah. Sucked it all up. But, I was just hoping there was someone in Austin, because I'm in South Austin. If you knew somebody, I'd just go and talk to.
Well, here's the deal. I can't get into telling people medically what to do. Are you kidding? I mean, I know a lot of this knowledge from interviewing doctors like Dr. Blaylock, but he couldn't even tell you something unless he saw your chart and talked to you and spent time with you. And even then, it would take, I feel sorry. Yeah, people say support the troops all day. The DU is a death sentence. It'll reduce, 20-30% of your life. And, that's what I mean. This is devastating. This is crazy. I mean, the people doing this may think they've got a method of their madness, but at the end of the day, they're just a bunch of crazy people. Dr. Blaylock, final comments.
Yeah, I think we're all going to have to start waking up. People need to understand you're being lied to in a gross way. I work with all of these people on these vaccine sites that are called constantly quacks and fringe people. These are some of the most intelligent people I've met. They're research scientists. They're top-level people. And they don't want you to look at these sites, and they don't want you to look at their information. It's all published in top-level journals. These are top researchers with incredible credentials. And crackpots like Paul Offit are trying to convince you that these people are a danger to your health, and it's a lie. And that's why you need to read this Managed Truth. It tells you how our truth is managed by people high up in the...
What's the best site for that? Is it RussellBlaylockMD.com or the BlaylockWellnessCenter.com?
Go to RussellBlaylockMD.com. It has all my published papers and things I've written.
Well, Doctor, I know you're a very busy man, and we always appreciate you honoring us with your time and trying to warn people. I know it's not pearls before swine. People are listening to you, and a lot of people are seeing dramatic results, and that's the proof is in the pudding, so God bless you.
God bless you, Alex, and thank you for all you do.
Thank you, sir. All right, there goes Dr. Blaylock. We're going to come back in a few minutes and talk about Obama and where this guy comes from. And I know he's a puppet, but he's a nasty puppet. And he's totally blackmailed. He's not who they say he is. And that's why they're going to have the president tell Congress, I take orders from the UN, sit down and shut up. I mean, this country is in deep trouble. It's all I can do to not selfishly grab my wife and children and get out of here. In fact, that's why I subconsciously feel really guilty and angry, even though I'm doing it for moral reasons. I still get mad at myself. Every day I look at my children that I'm not getting out of this country. Okay? I mean, I could punch myself in the face because I'm conflicted. I know I'm doing the right thing, but I still, my flesh gets really angry and says, buddy, you are asking for it, coming on air and calling the attorney general a murdering terrorist and giving evidence. But my soul says to my flesh, you're doing it, pal. You're doing it. And because that's the only way I can live is I've got to tell the truth and I can't back off and I got to go where this leads me. And if more people would just say, I don't care what my neighbors think, I don't care what's going on, I'm going to get aggressive about this. Because a caller earlier is like, they're doing this to our children. This guy's talking about his nephews and getting mad. Yeah, you bet. Exactly. You haven't lost your human instinct, your basic humanity. You understand this is bad. People ask why I blow up, why I yell and scream. because I get frustrated. All I do is pore over their crimes all day. I know I'm right. And I know they're killing our troops with the DU. I know they're killing our kids with all these shots. I know it. I know. And I want it to stop. I'm saying to the public, why does it have to get much worse before you get up and get angry? And you're not going to save the world by yourself, but taking action will. I got some breaking news on the other side on French terror attack, all the hallmarks of an intelligent psyop, false flag, Kurt Nemo, Infowars.com.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Well, Little Rock renames airport to honor Bill and Hillary Clinton. Isn't that just special? Why don't they name the MENA airport the cocaine importation agency of Bill and Hillary Clinton? I mean, I've had the CIA guys on, like Terry Reid. I've had them all on who witnessed it. Local police documented it, all the murders. So isn't that cute? They're naming Reuters reports the airport in Little Rock after these two pieces of trash. There's just no end to these criminals. And I love Bill Clinton's big charity that steals most of the money for Africa and stuff. Bono, you know, gets like 1.3% or something of the money to the Africans. I mean, they're just sick. And it's time to call these jellyfish out for what they are. Now, we're going to Dr. Jerome Corsi with some big breaking news here in just a moment. First off, this is a story that is compiled from the BBC, London Telegraph, French TV. It's the same MO. This Al-Qaeda person was hooked up in Afghanistan, reportedly in a prison. French intelligence for 2 years knew everything he was doing, and then he was able to carry all this out. Now, they go out and they find crazy people, and then they basically let them attack, kind of like the underwear bomber on Christmas Day. That's confirmed. U.S. government got him on the aircraft, and he was whacked out of his mind. The point is that they did it, kind of like the first World Trade Center attack where they cooked the bomb, trained the driver, the FBI did. Well, this Mohammed character, the suspect in the killing of seven people, including a Jewish school in Toulouse, France, fits the pattern of an Al-Qaeda intelligence asset. And it goes on. According to BBC, he was a raider of French authorities on their radar because of visits he made to Afghanistan and the militant stronghold in Pakistan. And it goes on to break down the fact that they're having Sarkozy's election, and this guy had reportedly been in a prison and then had been basically released or escaped. This whole thing stinks to high heaven. Kurt Nemo's article breaks it down. French terror attack, all the hallmarks of an intelligence psyop and false flag. It's all boiled down at Infowars.com. Now, shifting gears over to Dr. Jerome Corsi, who doesn't really need any introduction here. He writes for WorldNet Daily. He's had a bunch of New York Times bestsellers, including number one bestsellers. And he's a PhD from Harvard University in political science. So he's an expert on the economy as well. I want to spend a few minutes with him on that. But he has been hot on the trail of Barry Sotero and the other aliases of Obama. And now he has done an interview with the Postman, who for years delivered a mail to the Ayers family, who said that they were putting a, quote, foreign student Obama through school. And we've got all these other people saying at Occidental and other places, he was introduced as Barry. We were conspiracy theorists 3 years ago. Now they admit, oh, he is Barry Sotero. Obama calls into talk shows now and calls himself Barry. So first it didn't exist, and then, oh, actually, that was my name. But let's not discuss it. So all of that's going on. This is a big development, and Paul Watson has an article on it. Obama chides birthers while media spikes Ayers bombshell. Postman says Ayers' parents put foreign student Obama through school. That's the InfoWars article with the latest developments. Obviously, at WorldNet Daily, they've got all of the facts there in the interview with the gentleman. But this is just something you add to the pile. Dr. Corsi, thanks for coming on to tell us what's happening.
Alex, always a pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
Tell us about the new development.
Well, this postman, whose name is Alan Hulton, H-U-L-T-O-N. He lives up in Illinois, outside of Chicago. He delivered mail for 39 years, and his route included Glen Ellen, suburb of Chicago, where Mary and Tom Ayers, the parents of Weather Underground bomber Bill Ayers, lived. And in the course of delivering mail, this occurred in the late 80s, early 90s. I think it really occurred probably in the summer of 1989 as I pieced together the events. Alan Hulton had been told earlier by Mary Ayers that the family, Bill, she and her husband, Tom Ayers, were supporting this foreign student, helping him get through his schooling. And she was bragging about how great this was, this foreign student, black foreign student. And then around the summer of 89, the postman just delivered the mail to the Ayers home. He's walking in the driveway, coming out onto the sidewalk, and sees this black young kid approaching him. And the kid comes up to him and says he is going to the Ayers home to thank them for helping him with his education. And immediately the postman connects the two together and says, oh, this is the foreign student. And he remembers what he looks like. So now we fast forward. Obama's running for president. The postman hears his voice on the television, looks, and says, this is the guy I met in front of the Ayers home. This is the foreign student that Mary and Tom Ayers were paying for to go to school.
And he did have this route. The guy's a credible witness, but people are saying, how does he remember this? Well, you can say what you want about Obama or Barry Sotero. He is a striking personality, his voice, the way he looks. I mean, he is somebody who is unusual.
Yeah, and see, Alex, I taped the postman, Alex Hulton, for almost four hours, like 3.5 hours. I was with him almost the entire day. I made him go through the story 3 different times. Also, this was a lead that was developed by Sheriff Arpaio. There was an affidavit. I was working from an affidavit that Hulton, the postman, had given to Sheriff Arpaio. And I was out there validating the lead, making sure we videotaped the postman to get his story in his own words. And I can tell you, this is a guy who had every appearance of telling the truth. And he said he remembered Obama because the big ears, the light complexion, the way he was dressed. He described his clothes, polo shirt, a dress shirt with an open collar, no tie, nice slacks. And that's exactly when you see Obama in the Harvard pictures, for instance, the Breitbart just released. That's exactly how Obama was dressed. And the physical descriptions of Obama, meeting him even once, sets an impact on your mind because he does look so distinctive. So I'm convinced that this is an accurate recollection. And the postman had told the story to a liberal blogger and attorney in 2009, and it was reported but paid very little attention to. But when we got the story through the Sheriff Arpaio's investigation and it connected the dots, foreign student knew the Ayers family earlier than said. This is before Obama was in fact, we've demonstrated before Obama was in Harvard. He was working in 1988 with the Ayers family in a Chicago school project. Now, 1989, Mary Ayers is bragging about funding this foreign black student. Obama fits the bill. He walks up the driveway and says, I'm the student here to thank the Ayers family. We put it all together. We've got the Weatherground underground bomber's family paying very likely for Obama's Harvard education as a foreign student. And Obama's telling the postman, another reason I think the postman remembered it, Obama's saying in 1989, I'm going to be president of the United States.
Wow. Well, absolutely. His mom's CIA. He's got the whole background. If she's even his mom, I mean, the thing is just, we don't know if any of this is true. It's so bizarre. But on top of it, watching Sheriff Arpaio's press conference, watching his top forensic specialists and outsiders they brought in, the body language is, plus I've already done the same research they've now done, so I know it's true, is they're totally freaked out. They're trying to act calm. Watching those investigators, they look scared. And either that or they're Academy Award-winning actors. Those investigators realize, and now you've talked about the fact they've beefed up their security, this is not a joke. As soon as Sheriff Opayo, for those that forget, started this investigation, the feds raided them. So you wouldn't do that if you weren't scared of the investigation. It's like a cop drives by at night and you see him and you run into the alley. Well, that's probable cause right there. The person's acting suspicious. The fact is they're acting totally scared. We learned President Bush, to recap, that you've exposed, wanted to know about Obama. So he had a diplomatic cable saying, go look at the records. Was he born there? And they said, yeah, it's been cut out. It's been removed criminally. Well, they wouldn't cut something out if he wasn't born there. And again, Barry Sotero, all of it. What is the latest on Sheriff Arpaio's investigation? Because obviously, you can say what you want about Arpaio, and you're helping him investigate there. This is a dangerous procedure you guys are involved in.
Well, and also, I mean, one more detail on the Postman story. He said the foreign student was from Indonesia. That was his distinct
reaction.
Indonesia. So he was tying it to the, you know, the Indonesian student, foreign student. That ties together for Obama. And the stories that Obama was even at Occidental as a foreign exchange student from Indonesia and traveling to Pakistan, most likely going to Indonesia, very likely picking up an Indonesian passport. This would have been, you know, before he was in, just at the end of his second year, probably at Occidental, something like 1980. And by the way, we don't have all the timelines for Obama are imprecise. You know, you don't
because they're all of it's sealed. Again, they're fighting to keep all that secret.
And then I want to affirm for you, the Sheriff Arpaio's investigation has even told me to be more concerned about my security. I'm now getting more threats. It's happening again. And, you know, it's very dangerous investigating what we're investigating. But I think the Postman story, which to me is very important because it's not hearsay. This is a postman saying, Barry Ayers told me, the postman says, that Obama was this foreign student. And then he met Obama, and Obama personally said he was going to be president and that he was thanking the Ayers family for helping with his education. This is firsthand testimony, sworn to an affidavit. You can see the postman in the interview I did. He doesn't look slick. You know, I basically lost night's sleep to get there, videoed him myself. You can see the whole thing is not slick. It's honest in the video. And this is the beginning, again, of another series of revelations that Sheriff Arpaio and the posse are going to be bringing forth. I'm going to be writing a story just today. I just got the letter today. Sheriff Arpaio is now starting to write out letters. He's demanding information from the Selective Service on the probable cause that the investigators have to say that the Selective Service draft card of
that's
Obama
right. I mean, an official investigation by a county sheriff because these crimes are being committed there through election fraud in that county. He can get stuff that's been sealed from the public.
That's right. He has investigative powers that are greater. As you know, the ability. Next letters, I'm sure they're going to be written. They're going to include to Hawaii. Hawaii is going to have to now stonewall a criminal investigation, demanding to see the original materials in the vault. I was not reported extensively, but even at the press conference, you know, the people said, "Oh, well, they didn't contact anybody from the Sheriff Arpaio's office in Hawaii." That is not true. Sheriff Arpaio's office contacted the Honolulu Police Department. The Honolulu Police Department said, "Don't bother contacting the Hawaii Department of Health. They'll stonewall you unless you have a court order, and even then they might not comply." So there's going to be more formal requests made to several government agencies to get these records pried loose. I mean, why can't we see the Occidental records from college of Obama?
Yeah, I'm going to say something right here. People better be praying for you, Dr. Corsi, because I warned the D.C. madam. I've warned others that have dropped dead, and I'm not trying to spook you here. You obviously know what you're doing. You've worked in the State Department and counterterrorism and, you know, been under military attack before, so I'm not going to, you know, go off into all that. But obviously, I want listeners to understand, they responded with a White House press conference 1 week before your book came out and announced through their sources that your book had been withdrawn as a fraud. They're acting like they are scared to death of you, and now you're so close to getting them. Man, you better. Obviously, they're hiding something. Obviously, he's got all these other names. the whole truth. Who knows what it is? But the reason this is an issue is it's illegal, it's unconstitutional, and imagine what foreign powers and corporate interests are able to do when they've got all this information. He's blackmailed.
Well, and additionally, I think you're totally right, Alex, exactly. But also, we're getting more information daily and developing more information daily. Got some blockbuster stories that are developing out of Sheriff Arpaio's investigation. I mean, people got to remember, this is a criminal investigation. That press conference charged that crimes had been committed in Obama's identity documents, which means that there's a fundamental criminal lie at the heart of who Obama is.
And he's got a Connecticut Social Security number. It just goes on and on.
And it also means, Alex, that we're going to be finding and looking for the perpetrators of these frauds. We're going to be identifying potential criminals that could be brought to trial. And the information that's coming forward, you know, implicates, again, the Department of Justice, implicates people within the government and administration. This has been a massive attempt to cover up who Obama is and to lie about his past.
The Attorney General wouldn't do that when he got caught lying about guns shipped to Mexico to blame the Second Amendment, or right, giving $500 million to a company to build, you know, stuff they never built in energy scams. These are good people.
Right. And allowing the prime suspect in Fast and Furious to go loose with a handwritten note and a $10 bill of the phone they could call in if they wanted to talk to the FBI further. I mean, it's ridiculous. And what you've got going on here is, I think, probably the greatest cover-up and lie and deception in American history over who Obama is.
Why did the elite do it? I want to ask you now, why would they gamble like this? Because it makes him compromised? Why?
A couple things. First of all, I think Obama was their chosen boy from the beginning. Communist raised, you know, the diversity of being, you know, not being just a white, having a combination of being, you know, African and white or whatever. But at any rate, the diversity element was there. Then raised Frank Marshall Davis. Now it looks like the Ayers. We're developing information. The relationship with the Ayers may go back to the, you know, early 1980s. And lied about. Remember, Barack Obama said Ayers was just some guy in his neighborhood. Their kids went to school. All a lie. Everything about Obama is being a lie. We're developing more information about the Obots, these guys who have bragged about forging Obama birth documents. This is a very deep and serious investigation. And tomorrow we'll be releasing, I hope to get it written today, release the letter that Sheriff Arpaio has now formally written to the head of Selective Service. There's a crime been committed there, and the investigators in Sheriff Arpaio's office are specifying the crime. They're looking at suspects. There are people of interest in the investigation, and it's not going away.
Wow, I want to shift gears in the final segment with you on this executive order and all these preparations that are being made, and the head of the CIA saying they're spying on everybody without warrants. I mean, it's just all coming out in the open now. Dr. Jerome Corsi's our guest. He writes for WorldNetDaily.com. I'm Alex Jones with InfoWars.com. Use the web while it's still there. Look, I'm going to be honest with folks. My job is getting easier and easier and easier because everything that I've warned about all these years is now just coming true. My question is, what are we going to do about it? I mean, they're announcing the NSA is spying on everybody, but leaving the borders wide open. The government's saying they'll secretly disappear citizens. NDAA, they're signing laws restricting protest. I mean, it's all happening while world government in Europe's being announced by the very banks that engineered the collapse, the federalization of police, but record gun sales on top of record. I mean, I'm telling you, almost no one except mainstream media disagrees with us now. I go on talk shows, that used to disagree with me, they agree. People apologize in droves. Dr. Corsi, are you finding that finally the awakening is going into a supercharge mode, A? B, is that what these Cold War executive orders about under nuclear attack, the president, COG, but Obama's saying peacetime, he'll do all this. Is he gearing up to try to domestically clamp down, or is that more for an Iran situation?
Well, first of all, I think the increasingly things that you've been reporting, I've been reporting for years now, are undeniable, which includes the government spying on the people of America. Anybody who thinks that their phones aren't being listened to or their conversations or even through the television, the capability of watching and monitoring what you're doing. I mean, this idea, you know, that the technology exists and the NSA has the capability to watch about everybody in America is undeniable now. Secondly, these executive orders, this one most recently, this last week, signed and released at 5 in the afternoon on a Friday, so nobody will pay any attention to it, gives Obama as president in peacetime, you know, declaring an emergency, unspecified what the emergency is, the power basically to take over all of the private economy, to manage the entire resources of the private economy. It's shocking.
And then hand it over to his friends, which he's already proven he'll do.
Right, and I've been reporting this, it's an extension of what George Bush was doing. These executive orders have been being signed now for at least four presidents, expanding their emergency powers, and they're getting more and more bold, more and more in the
open. That's what I was about to say. This has been there for a while, but they're trying to implement now.
Yes, now they're ready to implement. Now they're ready to say, okay, we're going to take whatever it is, Iran, you name it, a hurricane, a flood. And it's now a national emergency, and here comes in Obama. He's taking over everything. All the management of government down to the tribal management of government and every resource available, including the entire private economy, now reports to the White House and is directed by the military. I mean, this is the apparatus for a police state that Stalin and Hitler would have loved to have had the ability to put into place.
It's the definition of martial law when the regular law is suspended.
And it's declared at the whim of the president with no real checks or balances.
Just like the NDAA. We only got a minute left. Where is it going with the president saying, I take orders from the UN, and then nothing's being done about it? There's a bill, but it's not getting attention. WorldNet Daily's covered it. We have.
Well, I think I've been reporting on this for years. Remember, we even signed an agreement with Canada and Mexico that if we have an avian flu epidemic or any kind of pandemic in North America, we are under the direction of the United Nations.
That's right. That's in the SPP.
That's the SPP. This putting us under UN control. Supreme Court that doesn't consider the U.S. law or precedent to be supreme is looking to foreign law. The UN is ultimately the default world organization, you know, where the laws and the legitimacy the president is going to set. Obama said from the beginning he's president of the world. And Alex, I think if you look at certain declarations of the UN, it won't matter if he's a natural born citizen of the United States because he's president of the world.
Well said. This is all coming to a head. We'll talk to you again very, very soon. Thank you, Dr. Corsi.
Thank you.